This is episode 81 and explores chapter 5 of Tony Rossi and colleagues' book, Workplace Learning in Physical Education, Emerging Teacher Stories from the Staff Room and Beyond. This week I'm delighted to welcome Ross Halliday as the practitioner responder, and I thank him for his considered words and for taking the time to respond. The words you hear in the response are Ross's, but the voice is mine. I hope I do justice to his sentiment. This is an audio version of the PEPRN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. Keeping up appearances. Teaching is not just a profession. It's not just a passion. It's also a disposition. Wanted: teacher of physical education. Key skills: must share the same interests in traditional male sports as current staff. Be a team player. Have the type of humour that allows A, you to turn a blind eye, B, laugh at senior colleagues' jokes, and C, be able to take a joke yourself. Finally, you must be considered easygoing and be interested in the community. Before you can become a teacher, you are told that you need to satisfactorily perform a variety of tasks. It would be easy to assume that these tasks would be about teaching. You would certainly be forgiven for feeling that if you taught good lessons, had a good subject knowledge, and were good with the students, then you would be well on your way to qualifying. But that doesn't seem to be the case. As the job advertisement above unsubtly hints, new teachers are expected to engage appropriately in a number of social tasks. In many ways, this seems okay. After all, they need to be seen to fit in. But when these tasks are often unstated, inferred, or implied, and when fitting neatly in is the only choice, a you can have any colour you want as long as it's black scenario, then the okayness of the whole scenario seems to evaporate. That said, the successful completion of these social tasks are likely to have significant implications for their, new teachers, evaluation, job prospects, community membership, identity and practice. The significance and yet inconsistency between staff rooms and between colleagues of these social tasks in shaping the decisions and engagement of teachers, young and old, requires more serious consideration. They seem, at least according to Rossi and colleagues, to principally hinge on the new teacher's ability to create cordial social relations with key players in the staff room. This is difficult in any situation, but when future careers and positions of power and influence might hinge on these relationships, then these social tasks need to be foregrounded a little more in our discussions of teaching and teacher education. The balance for many of the new teachers in this study was in moving from peripheral to full membership of the department without over or understepping in the process. To do this, they needed A, to demonstrate a shared interest in sport, B, an appreciation about belonging to a team, and C, have the capacity to use humour, be easygoing, and show interest when engaging in the community. A shared interest in sport. Teachers talk about sport. Indeed, the authors described it as a central topic of interest. It is talked about, reflected on, speculated about, and analysed to the point, in the words of one pre-service teacher, where it is basically the crux of everything. It is, however, not sport generally, but a handful of traditional sports specifically. Furthermore, is often the sports that the school specialises in and upon which the sporting prowess and reputation of the school is built. Having a knowledge of the game is good for new teachers, but engaging in sport-related conversations and engaging in betting through footy tipping, what Wikipedia defines as a competition involving picking winning sports teams over a given season, are more advantageous. Indeed, the activity of footy tipping provides a point of interaction as part of the culture of many Australian workplaces. Such is the position of sport that new teachers are required to find ways of connecting with others through sports that interest them. Some sports provide privilege because everyone is interested in them. Significantly, these sports are male sports, with female sports being rarely discussed. The conversations that occur about sports present opportunities for pre-service and beginning teachers to interact with their new colleagues and demonstrate shared interests. Rossi and colleagues found that when a shared interest wasn't evident, then new teachers became good at talking about what the more experienced teachers found interesting. For one teacher, a soccer player who was working in a rugby school, his status as an elite participant was of no value because it was the wrong game. As a consequence, where a rugby player's behaviour would have enhanced their possibility of participating in the shared interests of the community, he was denied the community with potentially devastating outcomes. Negotiated understandings of teamwork. Being part of a team is a desired state in departmental staff rooms. New teachers are expected to be part of the team's approach through the actions of collaboration, helping out and getting along. In short, everyone helps each other out. Having a shared ethos, being united and having mutual respect are key aspects of achieving the common goals of providing a positive learning environment. Fitting into this team and being a team player means that the new teachers have to show commitment to the team. For many students in this study, this was achieved and publicly demonstrated by helping out at school events and in extracurricular, co-curricular intramural sport. In this way, they became an important cog in a team that operates as a support network for work. Humour, easygoing and negotiation skills. Humour is a key attribute to have in the staff room. Jokes, pranks and teasing are all important, as is the willingness to be both a witness and a target. Being a PE teacher means being able to both give and get a joke. The jokes might be lewd and sexist and might target women, but it's important not to be offended or to take it to heart. For individuals who engage in behaviours outside of staff room expectations, teasing and alienation seem to be used as appropriate repercussions. New teachers are expected to accept teasing and laugh at others' jokes, and to be passive or even dismissive to show their agreement and/or complicity. Maintaining the appearance of being either laid-back, jovial, thick-skinned, easygoing, up for a laugh, were social tasks that were identified across a range of departmental offices. As new teachers, there is a need to fit in and play the game to thrive and survive. That said, being seen as too keen, phony, needy or underfoot was a bad thing. In short, new teachers needed to fit in without taking up too much space. Importantly, though, it is not all about being laid back and easygoing. There is work to be done, and it isn't uncommon for the staff room environment to be regularly punctuated with frenetic periods where organisational tasks predominate. This means that new teachers need to work out when to be social and when to be organised, and have to learn how to navigate between the two. Building positive relationships requires considerable effort, attention and energy, and yet the social tasks we have discussed are not taught, perhaps even mentioned, on teacher education programmes. Being a good fit is important and has implications for either a successful practicum or progressing a career. This requires a nuanced understanding of the space, and yet no one space is identical. The energy required to navigate these different spaces has to come from somewhere, and Rossi and colleagues wonder if it comes at the expense of enhanced pedagogical inquiry and practice. The question is, what are pre-service and beginning teachers learning in these spaces? How to teach better, or how to be better teachers? Practitioner Response by Ross Halliday. In my 12 years of teaching experience, I have taught in 3 schools. In each of these, I've experienced the feeling of being the new teacher. I can honestly say that in each new role, I've been eager to please. That said, as I have grown in experience, I am more in sync with my own values, beliefs and understandings about teaching and learning, as well as what constitutes a healthy school or department culture. The job ad provocation at the outset of the post angers me. It angers me because it took me back to a bygone day of PE departments, where sport was given a higher level of respect than learning, PE or otherwise. It has forced me to consider, however, how many schools and departments are still operating within these unspoken rules. I'm sure there are some, and I hope just as confidently they are in decline. The post goes on to explore the disposition that PE teachers have around a shared interest in sport. What about a shared interest in learning? What about ongoing conversations about how to make PE, sport, exercise, physical activity, getting outside, and or simply playing the most irresistible form of learning? Could that draw teachers of all learning areas into the PE staff base more than a masculine discussion about how the footy went on the weekend? Don't get me wrong, I have nothing against a bit of friendly banter or conversations about sport. In fact, they form an engaging part of my week too. I simply believe we need to place them firmly where they belong in terms of our drive to be better teachers tomorrow than we are today, and better today than we were yesterday. With regards to this, Being a PE teacher means being able to both give and get a joke. The jokes might be lewd and sexist and might target women, but it's important not to be offended and not to take it to heart. This misguided rhetoric could have come straight out the mouth of Mr. Sugden, the fictional, or is he, PE teacher from the 1969 movie Kez. Any school department, PE or otherwise, operating in such a culture should have its doors closed immediately, if not sooner. That being said, I think there is a skillful way to play the game as a new teacher in a school, as the article states. Building positive relationships required considerable effort, attention, and energy. This is true, and I firmly believe that a high level of EQ and social intelligence will serve you far better as a newbie than an analytic knowledge of the curriculum, the weekend footy scores, or the top 10 department pranks ever will. I believe the article is quite correct in stating being a good fit is important and has implications for either a successful practicum or progressing a career. My belief, however, is this can be achieved by having a strong alignment to your personal values and to what is important to you as a teacher first and a teacher of PE second. This, in turn, builds respect among colleagues. And if this comes at the expense of likability, so be it. After all, we exist to enhance the learning experiences and outcomes for our students, and that comes from a laser-like focus on being the best we can every day, without distraction. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your experiences? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will explore the next chapter of Rossi and colleagues' book. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Ross for his contribution and for taking the time to reflect on this blog. I would also like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this blog and getting it out on time in an semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.